Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today, talking trade with Kent Backus of the NCBA in just a moment.
Around P&K Equipment, it's always tractor season. We're really proud of our John Deere lineup because it's stacked with capability and versatility, and it's changing what it means to own your tractor. And because it's all part of our promise to you, you'll also find some of the lowest industry prices and top-notch service. We call that the P&K experience. So stop by to meet the team and kick off your tractor purchase today, or visit us online at pkequipment.com. And remember, around here, John Deere starts with P&K.
Talking now with Kent Backus of the National Cattlemen and Beef Association's D.C. office. Kent, boy, this is a really wild time as far as the trade agenda is concerned that you try to keep up with. And maybe let's first of all talk about the latest revelations regarding the U.S. and China. What are you hearing, and what do you feel this is going to mean for our potential beef trade?
First of all, you're exactly right. There's a lot of moving parts, and it's kind of hard to keep track of everything that's going. But, the big focus right now is China. What we're hearing is that there's been some progress, in some of the discussions. I think it's still very speculative at this point to see what the final result will be. But I think the promising thing is that we're actually having these conversations government to government. Because keep in mind, China's not always the easiest government to work with. They got some pretty strict rules, a lot of bureaucratic procedures, and that's kind of proved to be a big barrier for our negotiators in the past. So I think it's promising that you're seeing our negotiators go to China. You're seeing them come to Washington. There's a lot of mutual exchange of information. So we're hopeful that ag is going to be part of that conversation. But, it's still anybody's guess right now as to how this whole thing's going to shake out.
Beef was one of the commodities that was facing a tariff listed by the Chinese, but that never actually went into effect, right?
Yeah, so, for now, we're still kind of the same place we've always been. China had threatened to raise the tariff on U.S. beef from 12% to 37% if the United States retaliated on the Section 301 investigation, which in layman's terms, that was if the U.S. was gonna hit them with tariffs for $50 billion in damages, then China was going to have its own list that it could reciprocate with $50 billion, and beef would be included on that list. We're not at that point right now. I still think that threat is still very viable. Make no mistake. I mean, we could put these tariffs forward on China, and they could reciprocate without batting an eye. And the last thing we want to see is any kind of escalation, because while the damage may be somewhat minimal for beef, it'll hit every other commodity with a vengeance, and that's the last thing we need right now is more uncertainty in the commodity market.
Regarding trade with China, what are you hearing? I know that it seemed like from some of the reports we're getting through USMEF is that on a month-to-month basis, we're gradually starting to see a few more pounds every month go to the mainland Chinese.
Yeah, I think the important thing to remember is just to keep this all in perspective. We were out of the Chinese market for 13 years. We just got back in less than a year ago. It'll be a year here in June. And it takes time to develop the supply chains, identify the customers, and to get product moving. And also, beef takes a lot longer to adjust to market demand because it takes us longer to grow the animals. It's isn't, chicken or pork where you can, turn around a product in just a matter of months. It takes us a couple of years. And even that, given the restrictions China's placed on us, it's still limited. But if you look at the upside of this, China represents a fifth of the world's population. Their middle class is bigger than the entire U.S. population, and they're buying beef. They're about to surpass the U.S. as the biggest importer of beef in the world. And that just shows that there's more demand that's out there. We obviously want to be part of that success because we see this as a good long-term investment, and that's something we've committed to be part of. So we got our foot in the door now. What we're hopeful is that with these negotiations that we'll see more opportunities there, but even without that, we're still going to see our sales continue to grow. They're just not going to grow at the same pace as if they removed all the restrictions. So China, either way, is going to be a good bet for us. It's going to provide a good opportunity to expand into the Asian market. And keep in mind, Ron, you know, our two top export markets are Japan and Korea. There's a lot of demand throughout Asia. China being a major player over there, that's just another good market for us.
NCBA's Kent Backus. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron. Hey, cattle producers, join me on the road to ranching efficiency at the 2018 Noble Research Institute Texoma Cattlemen's Conference, June 14th and 15th. A day-long tour of two of their farms on the 14th, then plan to attend the conference on Friday the 15th. A tremendous lineup of speakers will inspire and inform, including Jim Robb, Colin Woodall, Dr. Cliff Lamb, and Donald Brown. Go to noble.org/events to see the agenda and to register. The Texoma Cattlemen's Conference, June 15th, Ardmore Convention Center. See you there. And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.